Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism, give it all a good hard shake and pour, step back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining me for yet another round of yummy cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo in a world where we ask, what the heck happened with that bridge in Baltimore? Whose Black Swan event was it? The White Hats or the Babylonian Whores? We think it's the Whores. Why can't they see that every time they try to bump Trump, it backfires and stings them in their rumps? Is the entrance to the rabbit hole big enough for the indoctrinated to fall through? Will we have an election, or will we have a military coup? What did P. Diddy do with all those kiddie kiddie peas crying boo hoo hoo? Assange's extradition hearing has been delayed. Is it because they need to sort out the ones who raid from the ones who get paid? And, as died suddenly becomes too big to ignore, peeps are finally asking what that nasty fake vaccine was really for. If you're joining us for the first time, be advised we are politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. Martini heads, we are simple folk. We value common sense, common courtesy, and common decency. We are spirit-centered patriots from all walks of life who have one thing in common. We believe in the American dream of life, liberty, ownership of property, and the pursuit of happiness. We have a few other things in common too. For example, we won't eat insects. We will not eat bugs. We won't live in 15-minute prison camps. We won't pay tolls to go on the freeway. We know the agenda behind the death poke. We refuse to wear a face cloak. And we will do whatever it takes to keep the U.S. Constitution intact. And it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, we are committed to the destruction of deep state ideology and its machinery of enslavement. So, to all the depraved, filthy perverts who think they got away with their shenanigans on Epstein Island and many other locations, those who grew fat and bloated on George Soros money, you have nowhere left to run anymore. There is nowhere left for you to hide. You see, darlings, you may think we're just a bunch of idiots, but we will find each and every one of you, and we will bring you to justice. You see, darlings, you messed with the Star Spangled, and now you must be arrested and tried and sentenced, and in most cases, if I have my way, dangled. As the meme says, this is the longest, saddest, most painful I told you so in history. Having to step back and watch your friends die suddenly, quite frankly, is brutal. Having people who walked away from you years ago and return to you now because they have developed multiple life-threatening health issues, cancer and heart issues being at the top of that list, watching them come back with sheer terror in their eyes, it is difficult. I'm not going to lie. I thought it would be easier. After all, I'm an amazingly enlightened genius. And it's a free will universe. And we have to honor people's right to have a choice. We don't have to honor the choice they end up making, just the right to have one. And I thought I would rise above it all and be chill with it. But it turns out, I guess I'm a slightly better person than I thought I was. It turns out perhaps I have a little bit more compassion than I thought I did. So the FDA, the FDA has been forced to redact its false information regarding the efficacy of ivermectin. And it turns out, and we knew this from the start, it turns out that ivermectin is useful against whatever the flippity-gibbet COVID is. They lied about that because an emergency cannot be declared if a viable medication exists. So let's not hide our heads in the sand. Millions of you are still doing that. The establishment waged germ warfare on we the people for the sole purpose of creating freeze-level fear. They did this to sell the fake vaccine, which is really a bioweapon created for mass depopulation. Ivermectin would have taken care of the germ warfare, but then we wouldn't have been frozen in fear. And we wouldn't have been, you know, we think straight if you're not frozen in fear. People, you know, I'm looking back at the last 4 years or so, and it's like a dreadful B-movie running in my head with subtitles. One of those things that, like, you know, the French make a movie and they dub it into German and it's produced and directed by Japanese people and distributed by Russians. People actually lined up in their cars in parking lots to receive an untested shot right into their bodies, an untested shot they knew nothing about. And they posted happy photos of themselves on social media holding their free donuts or their free bag of French fries. Can you hear how insane that is? Can you hear the demons of the deep state cackling in the background? Now that we're a few years into this, perhaps we are strong enough to review some of this insane behavior. They told people they could go into restaurants, but they had to wear a mask. While they were eating or drinking, they could take off their masks, but they had to put it back on between bites. And that is stupid. But what's even more stupid is that people did this. I didn't, because I'm not insane. But I saw hundreds of people doing this. I watched in horror as people showed proof of vaccination to get into shops, to get into restaurants, and other places open to the paying public. For a while, they told restaurateurs to build seating tents outside their establishments because somehow the virus, by the way, I guarantee you there is no such thing as a virus per se, but moving on. They told restaurateurs that if they built seating outside the premises, it would make for a safer dining experience. And how is that exactly? How does that work? Does the virus know inside from outside? And how about the 6 feet apart rule? Can the virus count? And what about those stupid plexiglass barriers at the cashier stations? How does that help when everyone has touched everything in the whole damn store? And people complied. Oh my God. I mean, we watched in horror as people willingly gave away their dignity. As we all know, because I don't stop talking about it, I refused to wear a mask during the insanity. And no one bothered me in the rural areas or the smaller towns. But I had some colorful conversations with Brads and Karens up and down the West Coast, and I suspect a few of them are still in therapy. Because I am very good at comeback lines. Now, let's take a look at the medical facilities. Not all of them, but a significant percentage denied services to the patients who had the good sense to refuse the fake vax. My own mother was literally dying in hospital, and I was told I could not see her unless I accepted the clot shot. I refused, of course. And all credit to my mum. She held her ground and refused the vax. And guess what? With her immune system intact, she made it. She is alive and thriving at 84. We know, though, that thousands of seniors were murdered by medical protocols during the scamdemic. And we know that the scope of the deception is mind-blowing, but it has to be said only to the people who don't have control of their own minds and are therefore easily manipulated. 4 or 5 years into this, if you are still surprised by what's happening, you have no concept of who you are, where you came from, and certainly no concept of where you want to go. People of planet Earth, hear me. We have to do better. Shall I leave it there for now? Probably. I'll just end by saying, look, we told you so. 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 We didn't wake up one morning and decide on putting our careers on the line because we were bored and needed a new adventure. We did it because we saw the horror of things to come and wanted to spare you a slow, miserable death. And you laughed at us and you mocked us, and that's on you. But we chose not to take it personally because that would be immature. We weren't hurt by your ridicule. We were sad because we knew what would happen to you. And it did. And no one's laughing now, are they? No, everyone's crying. Well, that's my pontificating done with for today. On today's show, my darlings, we have our usual quack, questions, answers, and comments. We have a silly poem. We have awesome American civics and history, and my favorite part of the show, the cocktail of the day, because my darlings, metaphysical martini is where the Holy Spirit merges with top shelf distilled spirits, and that's just a lovely combination. In fact, let me take a little sippy poo of my drinky poo and see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, darlings. Don't go away. Sipping is happening. Oh, I could so live with that. Very refreshing. All right. Let's start as we always do with quack. If you would like to share your ideas with martini heads across the globe, send your emails to me, Arnie at ArnieAvedisian, or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070, USA. And let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details. So let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. And as I do that, I do hope you all realize that the Baltimore Bridge event was a black hat event, because that's a huge port for agricultural and farm products, and also hazardous products. This was a direct assault on the American people by its own government. And I do hope the scum who carried it out burn for eternity in the 66th circle of hell. And I know there is no hell, and therefore there is no 66th circle. But in such cases, I must admit, it makes me sad there is no hell, because that's where these unmentionable bastards deserve to rot and wither. All right, back to quack. Let's see. Let's just pick something, Arnie, and get on with it. Are you feeling a little honorary today, Arnie? I must say I'm a little cranky today. Let's see. This first one. Oh, I remember this. This is from Marinella. Marinella, who is currently visiting her family in Larissa, which is in Greece. I think it's in the inland there of the mainland. Yasu Marinella. And what is on your mind, my little spanakopiter? Let's see. Marinella says, I can see both sides of the argument. Wouldn't it, though, be more convenient if all currency was digital? Marinella, we sacrifice far too much for convenience. It could work in a world free of corruption, a world where no one had to hide money from the taxman, because the taxman does not actually exist in that world. We are a long way from that day, Marinella. Right now, I say the only people who want digital only and no cash ever are the sociopath corporate overlords. And they want it because they want control over every single transaction, no exceptions. So, you know, no putting a $10 bill into your nephew's birthday card. no garage sales, no little transactions under the table, a real attack on sovereignty. Marinella, darling, we can embrace convenience once we reach zero tolerance for corruption. Then and only then. And thank you for checking in with us while you're on holiday. I hope you have a lovely time. Let's see what else is in the fishbowl today. And this is from Midge. What a lovely name. Midge, who is in, I think it's Tenek, New Jersey. And Midge wants to know how long it will take before everything gets back to normal after the chaos of the Great Awakening. Oh, Midgey Poo. Okay, I can't offer any meaningful input on that. It seems the Black Hats are going to pull out all the stops before their inevitable demise, and we could be in for a massive infrastructure damage, and that will take time to repair. In fact, undoubtedly, we're in for massive infrastructure damage. And then we have a serious mental health issue to deal with, and that's an understatement. I mean, zombies are walking amongst us. And there may well be a need for a compassionate culling of those who have totally lost their minds. And I don't mean people with a different point of view. No. Before anyone gets their panties in a piddle, what I'm saying is we haven't begun to see the extent of brain damage purposefully inflicted on the human race by various means, from food modification to chemtrails to neurotoxins in the water, and of course 5G and the bioweapon fake vaccine, the last two alone in conjunction being powerful enough to turn brains into scrambled eggs. I kid you not. So we have to get through and deal with all of that first, and that's approximately three generations worth right there. Hopefully we will have found a way to remove any trace of this fake vax from our systems by then, so we're not condemning future generations to the misery of a compromised immune system. So I'll go with three generations to get it all sorted and settled. And while that happens, we will be shifting. The consciousness will shift upward, higher, until we become stable, and after a while, that stability will become the new normal. Now, I should mention, I do know that quite a few high-level souls, souls that do not need any further experiences or incarnations on physical realms, quite a few of those have planned to incarnate as humans in about 5 years. So let's say they're born in 2028. And we give them, say, 30 years to sort of grow up and start doing what they came down to do. That takes us up to 2058, which is what? So a generation and a half. And then others will probably follow every couple of years or so. So the three generations, 60 years, that makes sense for me. That's my educated guess. So I don't know your age, Midge, but I doubt I'll be around to see the stabilization period. I could maybe live another 30 years. I'd be 94. Ouch. Do I want to live that long? I'm not sure about that. I suppose it depends on whether I still have control of my mind and my bowels. Because if either of those go, I said to my partner, bring the pillow and get me out of here. But make sure it's the Mike Lindell pillow. I wouldn't want to go with any other pillow. TY for your question, Midge. Hang in there. Hold the line and just concentrate on being the best version of yourself. That's the best advice. What else do we have? Let's see. We had quite a few this week. People have been busy this week. Haley from Rhode Island. Hello, way over there on the East Coast. Dear Mad Shaman, my friends are falling over themselves, stocking up supplies. I dismissed the need for it at first, but now I see how naive I was. My problem is that I live in a small one-room apartment and no off-site storage. How do I prep for Armageddon? Darling, Haley, let me have a drink here. Hang on. Oh, this is a really nice long drink, so there's more of it, and I always like that. Haley, you don't have to prep for Armageddon. just for whatever emergency may come along, whether it's natural or man-made. So my suggestion, you asked for my suggestions. Here are my suggestions. First of all, and this is very important, don't buy food you don't enjoy eating. If you hate something now, you're not going to like it when the grid goes down, it's dark, there's no power, you're freezing cold, and everything sucks. Next thing, calculate how much food and sundries you use in a six-week period, and don't stint, be generous. You know, dry goods like rice, beans, pasta, lentils, now they're a must, as they provide a good amount of calories and can be flavored in many ways for variety. And when I say sundries, you know, include your hygiene and cleaning supplies and things you may not think of, like a box of construction strength trash liners are a must in case water is cut off and toilets don't flush. And a water filter, very good idea. And then you're going to want a heat source for cooking if the grid goes down. And this is important, you want happy food for morale boosting, happy food. Now that's different for everyone. So chocolate and cocktails for me, and it might be different for you. What else? These are the basic essentials. You know, a good flashlight with fresh batteries is a must. A good first aid kit, not a 1999 special. A good first aid kit is a must. You also want to have aspirin, Advil, eyewash, that type of thing. So just close your eyes, Haley, and imagine you can't leave the house for 6 weeks. What do you need to maintain quality of life? That's all there is to it. And of course, it goes without saying, but I will say it. If you have a vehicle, keep it topped up with gas at all times and make sure it is fully serviced. And if you own a firearm, make sure you have enough ammunition for it, and you also have fresh magazines. Don't, you know, a lot of magazines, they just sit there fully loaded and the spring goes after a while. So make sure your gun's in good working order. Make sure if it uses magazines that you got fresh springs for it, and make sure your ammo is fresh. Do not rely on that one box of shotgun shells that your father left you back in 1992. It may well be damp and useless or even dangerous by now. And if you're sensible, you will find room for all of it, even in a small one-bedroom apartment. And you should plan for 3 meals a day for 6 weeks, which will last longer if needed by eating 2 meals per day instead of 3. And if you eat meat, soft jerky is a good way of getting protein without refrigeration. And a piece of jerky and a cup of tea is a suitable substitute for a meal in times of emergency. Why do I specify soft jerky? Because how are you going to find a dentist during times of crisis? Good luck with that. So start there, Haley. But for heaven's sake, start today, darling, because the war on America is well underway. Don't make a big deal of prepping. There's nothing weird about being prepared for emergencies. Quite the opposite. It would be weird if we didn't prepare for emergencies. You don't know when an emergency is going to happen because that's the nature of an emergency. And the six-week rule is perfect for beginners. It won't overwhelm you and it won't break the bank. And the last tip, if you don't know your neighbors, it might be time to say hi. You need to know who you can count on and who to steer clear from. And that's the minimum you need to do. So go and do it, and do not rely on the state for anything, because all they want to do is tax you and keep you captive. Look, darlings, this administration is bringing in illegally bringing in all types of people, criminals among them, telling them they can squat in vacant properties. So you can imagine how emboldened these scumbags have become. The state isn't going to lift a finger to save you if these scumbags get guns and invade your home, which will be the next great Democrat idea, to replace all free-thinking American citizens with foreign criminals and interfere with yet another election, or better still, and this is part of their plan, encourage the scumbags to murder American citizens and take their place. That is next in their order of things. I have been right about everything thus far. Why would I be wrong about this? If they can't shut you up, they will have to kill you. But fear not. Although that is their plan down the road, it won't happen in any meaningful way. There will be blood, I assure you, but it won't be ours. It will be theirs. Haley, get prepping. And if you have any questions, drop me a line. I always write back. All righty. What's next? What's next? What do we have? Oh, let's do this. Let's have a drink. Let's have a drink. It's very nice. Very refreshing. Okay. Here is a lovely postcard. I wish I could show it to you, but this is a podcast, so I can't. And it's from Jacob in Manzanita, who says, Ani, I left the US in 2020, and now I live in Mazatlan. Join me. We can swim. We can eat seafood. We can drink mezcal and leave the world behind. And there's something else written at the bottom in tiny letters, because it's just a postcard, but I can't read it. Jacob, that is a tempting offer. Swimming in the sun, cocktails, seafood tacos. Let me think about it and get back to you. Oh, and also while I'm here, let me take a moment to thank Barbara in Ohio for the lovely handmade St. Patrick's card she sent me last month. I forgot to mention it on the last show. Thank you, Barbara. It's a keeper. And we'll bring it out every year on Paddy's Day and enjoy your artistry. Okay, should I just stop this podcast now and go and join Jacob in Manzanita? Maybe I'll finish the podcast first. Here's an email from Roger. Roger in London, UK. Rogering in England also means something else. I'm sure you can figure it out. I don't know why, but it makes me laugh, the name Roger. And Roger in London, UK writes, Ani, Assange, WTF, exclamation mark. I agree. WTF indeed. This is what Reuters had to say. Where are my notes from Reuters? WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's extradition to the United States from Britain was put on hold on Tuesday after London's High Court and the United States said the United States must provide assurances he would not face the death penalty. U.S. prosecutors are seeking to put Assange, 52 years old, on trial on 18 counts, all bar one under the Espionage Act over WikiLeaks' release of U.S. confidential military records and diplomatic cables. So after Britain gave the go-ahead for the extradition last year, Assange's lawyers launched a final attempt back in February in the English courts to challenge that decision. And in their written ruling, which Assange's wife Stella described as utterly bizarre, two senior judges provisionally gave him permission to launch a full appeal against extradition on three grounds, but only if the US failed to provide satisfactory assurances to the issues raised. And these were that Australian-born Assange arguably would not be entitled to rely on the First Amendment right to free speech, as he is a non-US national. And while none of the existing charges carry the death penalty, he could later face a capital offense such as treason, meaning it would be unlawful to extradite him. The judges invited the US authorities to provide assurances on these matters, saying if they were not forthcoming by April 16th, then Assange would be granted permission to appeal. However, they rejected his lawyer's argument the case was politically motivated or that he would not receive a fair trial. They also said his accusation that CIA officials had planned to kidnap or murder him could not be considered should he be allowed an appeal. A further hearing has been scheduled May 20 with his extradition, which his campaign team said could have been imminent depending on the ruling. Anyway, it's put on hold. Roger, the light versus dark war is ramping up to full throttle. I hope it goes well for Assange. I am surprised he is still alive, to be honest. I wish the White Hats would get a special forces platoon and extract him and keep him safe somewhere. Anyway, continuing with the Reuters blurb, So we know that WikiLeaks first came to prominence in 2010 when it published a US military video showing a 2007 attack by Apache helicopters in Baghdad that killed a dozen people, including, by the way, two Reuters news staff. It then released thousands of secret classified files and diplomatic cables that laid bare often highly critical US appraisals of world leaders, which the US said imperiled the lives of their agents. And Assange's many supporters hail him as an anti-establishment hero who is being persecuted, which he is, despite being a journalist, for exposing US wrongdoing and alleged war crimes. And the US authorities say he is not being prosecuted for the publication of the leaked materials, but for the criminal act of conspiring with former US Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning to unlawfully obtain them. Oh, this man has been through so much. Assange has now spent more than 13 years battling various legal cases in Britain, spending seven of those holed up inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London after skipping bail, and the last five in a maximum security jail, which, by the way, is Belmarsh, in the inner sanctum of Belmarsh, not a place you want to be. His brother, Gabriel Shipton, said he was suffering rapidly deteriorating physical and mental health. I'm astounded by the decision. The case should have been thrown out, Stella Assange, who married the WikiLeaks founder in prison, told Reuters. Julian remains at risk of extradition, at risk of the death penalty, and at risk of 175 years in prison. All he did was tell the truth. So Assange's lawyer, Jen Robinson, said, on the basis of previous cases, US assurances aren't worth the paper they're written on. I would agree with that. Nick Vemos, the former head of extradition at Britain's Crown Prosecution Service, said it would be straightforward for the US to provide the guarantees. I think the US government will have little difficulty in providing these assurances, and Mr. Assange's extradition will finally be ordered, he said. If the High Court does uphold the extradition decision, Assange's final challenge will rest with an appeal to the European Court of Human Rights to block it. And we all know how corrupt all these judges are not. Ha! So let's hold a vision of freedom for Julian. Everybody, please, let's hold a vision of freedom for Julian. He has made great sacrifice to bring us the truth and expose the unfathomable evil unleashed by the deep state machinery. And where are the thousands of journalists supporting him? Where are you all? You corrupt little buggers. You should have all formed your own platoon by now and broken this man out of prison. Shame on you, you feeble-minded, terrified little wimps. Bootlickers of the establishment. I don't even have any vocabulary for you. Well, I do, but you know, we want to move on now. So that's the WTF with Assange. I'm just holding out for some sort of rescue, and I'm also holding out for the White Hats to do this military coup. I understand we had to take the long road, and I really do understand why now, but I'm antsy now. Okay. Thank you for that question. Let's take one more question from the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. And this is from Sandra in Liverpool in the UK. Liverpool. I can't do the accent, but you guys have a lovely accent. Sandra in Liverpool, UK says, I know this isn't reported properly in America, but here in England, we are fighting back against globalism. It took long enough. Yes, it did. But we are now seeing the World War II spirit of defiance returning to our shores. Huzzah! Grassroots organizations are being created almost daily. I believe we have to show open hostility to those who are brought over in boats to destabilize our way of life. I come from a military family, my father, my uncles, my brother, my ex-husband, who was an idiot, but they all served in the Royal Navy and they did not risk their lives to see England's green and pleasant land turn into a shithole. Whew. And then she continues. There are no words to adequately express my anger. But please tell your American listeners that we are fighting back, and we are doing it without guns. You Americans have guns, and we wonder why you aren't using them. If we had guns, we would have used them by now. Sandra, I agree. I couldn't agree more. I agree, and I thank you for your letter of encouragement. And keep calm and reclaim your country, and I will do the same over here. And I guess we could leave it over there for Quack today. I have one other quick question that came in today. And we, you know, we are a martini show. And we do have letters from time to time from people who are suffering from what we call alcoholism. And they, you know, talk about the 12-step program, or they're not telling me not to drink. They're not telling me not to do the show, but some of them are just sharing their views on if you find that you're addicted to a particular substance, you know, it's best to be honest, and it's best to do something about it. And I do occasionally get letters from people who were alcoholics, but now are sort of Saturday night drinkers, not binge drinkers. Look, people, whatever addiction you think you have or you do not have, you're just addicted to a substance. It's one thing. You're giving up everything for this one thing because you think it makes you feel better. The sensible thing to do is to give up the one thing and reclaim every other thing in your life. Do not hate yourselves if you're alcoholics. Do not hate yourselves if you're addicts. Just do something about it. That's all. All right. And we will leave it there for Quack. A big thank you to the Martini Heads for sharing their views and their news. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. In fact, Quack is the reason we created the show. And now I'm going to have a sip of my drinky poo, which is very effervescent. I want you to know I'm fighting back the burping right now. Okay. Now. That was in the wrong key. Now it's time for a silly poem. Yes, folks. After a hard day's shamaning, I like to go home, put my feet up, and have a nice cup of tea or a small drinky poo or two, and write really bad but occasionally brilliant poetry. So today's offering is titled PG Tips Tea. And I dedicate this poem to my dear friend, the co-admin of my Telegram group and expert on American current affairs, Signora Misteriosa, Miss C. PG Tips T. Thank you very much. Me. When your day has been upended and things are far from splendid, the best course of action to bring satisfaction is to make a delicious cup of tea. When the water's boiled and bubbling, who cares about things that are troubling? 2 spoons of loose leaf will dissolve all your grief. In tea, there is joy and relief. In a world of limited options, tea is the ultimate concoction. So delicious, dark, and mysterious. One cup and you're no longer furious. Why not try some? I'm sure you are curious. I wrote that this morning. I don't drink in the mornings. I want you all to know that. I just, I was having my cup of tea and I thought, this is so wonderful. Tea makes you feel happy when you're sad. When you're over the top with brimming with too much life, tea calms you down. If you have experienced a shock, a cup of tea with milk and sugar will calm you down so that you can deal with the shock. Whatever problem you have in life can be fixed with a lovely cup of tea. I assure you, It is true. Okay, martini heads, I have a poetry challenge for you. I challenge you to write silly poetry and send them in to me, and I will read them out on this show. I will. There are too many dark clouds out there, and we need to lighten up, and we need to develop our collective sense of humor. So challenge on. Email your silly poems, not the serious stuff. I don't want serious stuff. Just send me your silly stuff, Ani@aniavedisian.com, and please put my silly poem in the subject line so it doesn't end up in the quack pile. So I look forward to receiving those, and just a heads up, a little tantalizing tanty here, I will be awarding prizes for the funniest and cleverest ones. Okay, it might even make it in my book, Really Bad But Occasionally Brilliant Poetry from a Mad Suburban Shaman, or whatever it was that I'm writing this, it's been like 7 years, but I'm getting to it. If you write really brilliant ones, I'll put a couple of yours in there too. And now, my darlings, kazoo for segue. It's time for awesome American civics and history. And today, we are going to highlight Francis Scott Key. And we are doing this because the current puppet administration just destroyed the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And many thanks to the folks at biography.com for sharing this information with me. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer who wrote the lyrics to the U.S. national anthem, The Star Spangled Banner, and his lifetime was from 1779 to 1843. He was a lawyer, and he's remembered for writing the lyrics of the Star Spangled Banner, which is now the national anthem of the United States. He lived much of his life in Maryland, though he also served as a district attorney for Washington, D.C. What else? During the War of 1812, he witnessed the British's unsuccessful attack on Fort McHenry in Baltimore, and he was inspired to write a poem, Defense of Fort McHenry. And it was just a poem, but it was set to music. And so then it became the Star Spangled Banner, which President Herbert Hoover made the national anthem in 1931. Decades after Key's death in 1843. That would have made him 63 years old when he died. I can do simple arithmetic. So for the lyrics, Key was posthumously inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1970. Well, that took a while, didn't it? So here we go. He was born August the 1st, 1779, Frederick County, Maryland, to a wealthy clan on the Terra Rubra Plantation. He was educated at home until 10 and then attended an Annapolis grammar school. He went on to study at St. John's College, ultimately returning to his home county to set up a practice as a lawyer. And he got married to Mary, who was called Polly Taylor Lloyd in the early 1800s. And listen up, people, the couple had 11 children. Wow. I'm in pain just thinking about the conception part of it, really, not the extrusion part of it. Okay. 1805, by that time, he'd set up his legal practice in Georgetown, then an independent municipality within Washington, D.C. By the early 1810s, the United States had entered into conflict with Britain over the kidnapping of American seafarers and the disruption of trade with France. And the ensuing hostilities became known as the War of 1812. Although opposed to the war due to his religious beliefs and believing that the disagreement could be settled without armed conflict, Key nonetheless served in the Georgetown Light Field Artillery. British forces, though, captured Washington, D.C. in 1814. And taken prisoner was Dr. William Beanes, who also happened to be a colleague of Key. And due to his work as an attorney, Key was asked to help in the negotiation of Beanes' release, and in the process, travel to Baltimore, where British naval forces were located along Chesapeake Bay. And he and Colonel John Skinner were able to secure Bean's freedom, though their return was delayed by a British attack on land. Those pesky little Brits, they're just, you know, relentless. All right, September 13th, 1814. Key was at sea off the coast of Baltimore with Colonel John Skinner and the now free Dr. William Beanes. The three men watched the British wage a day-long assault on Fort McHenry. And after continual bombing, to Key's surprise, the British were not able to destroy the fort. And Key noted upon the dawning of the next morning, a large U.S. flag was flying. A Mary Young Pickersgill had sewn it at the request of the fort commander. Well, the British, what did they do? They gave up. They ceased their attack and left the area. And Key immediately wrote down the words for a poem that he continued composing at an inn the next day. So the work, which relied heavily on visualizations of what he witnessed, came to be known as Defense of Fort McHenry, and it was printed in handbills and newspapers, including the Baltimore Patriot. And the poem was later set to the tune of a drinking song, of course, why not, a drinking song by John Stafford Smith, to Anacreon in Heaven, with the title The Star-Spangled Banner. And over the years, the Star-Spangled Banner continued to be held up as a musical symbol of the United States, though it also faced critiques for its depiction of violence and unwieldy lyrics. Where do they get the thing of unwieldy lyrics? There's no unwieldy lyrics in this. 1916, President Woodrow Wilson declared the Star-Spangled Banner should be played at official events. March 3rd, 1931, President Herbert the Hoover, along with Congress, declared the song the national anthem of the United States, official. Ta-da! And Key's lyrics earned him a posthumous induction to the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1970, which we already discussed. What was his stance on slavery? I mean, do we care? Ah, we care. Let's talk about it. After the War of 1812, Key continued working in law, and in 1833 became that Washington, D.C. district attorney. In this capacity, he oversaw proceedings that upheld the system of slavery by prosecuting abolitionists. Key was an enslaver himself, though he went on record as saying that the system of slavery was full of sin and a bed of torture. His complex views on race also led him to establish the American Colonization Society, which advocated for the transport of Black people to Africa. Information on Key's relationships to race and his Washington legal career can be found in the Jefferson Morley book, Snowstorm in August, Washington City, Francis Scott Key, and the Forgotten Race Riots of 1835. I don't dismiss these little suggestions to go look at these older books. You will find such gems of American history in some of these things. So Snowstorm in August, you might want to take a look at that. Jefferson Morley, Snowstorm in August. After falling in with pleurisy, that's painful, Key died January the 11th, 1843, in Baltimore. He was 63 years old. He's buried at the Mount Olivet Cemetery near the city of Frederick in Maryland. And although his legacy endures through the Star-Spangled Banner, Key has also been memorialized as the namesake of several schools and bridges. A monument for the famed lyricist and slaveholder stood in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park for many years before protesters toppled it during a demonstration against racial injustice. And that was June 2020. That wasn't so long ago. And as we know, in March 2024, just a few days ago, Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge on the Interstate 695 collapsed after a cargo ship ran into one of its supporting pillars. And I have seen various videos on that, and I've slowed down the videos, and I will tell you, anyone who thinks this was an accident is a blithering idiot. So now we know about Francis Scott Key, the author of The Star-Spangled Banner. And we only ever sing the first verse, though, don't we? So, you know, I thought you might want to hear all of the verses, but don't panic, because I'm not going to sing them. So I found a complete version of The Star-Spangled Banner showing spelling and punctuation from Francis Scott Key's manuscript, which is kept preserved in the Maryland Historical Society. So we all know the first verse. "O say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. O say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? On the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is that which the breeze o'er the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory reflected, now shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, O long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country, should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." Last verse. "O thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God we trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." Thank you to Francis Scott Key for writing that, at setting it to the music of a drinking song, because those are always the best tunes, because they get you going and they get you all riled up. So, darlings, now we know something about Francis Scott Key that we didn't know before. So, those of you who are, you know, anons or anon type people, and you love to do the research, please keep it up, because you're making a huge difference out there. Every time, I mean, look, 10 years ago, more than that, 9/11. Yes, we figured it out after a while. But now we're what, 23 years on? And we've got black flags and false flags and pink flags and all sorts of things happening, all of these events. And now it's all over social media that, oh, that was a false flag event. Oh, that was the government doing it to its own people. Oh, that's massively suspicious. It's working. All of your research is working. All of your posting, your memes, funny, silly, serious, whatever. Whatever you're doing, do it. Continue doing it. You are waking up the masses. And this country, I don't have any romantic views about this country. I just know, as a bloodline shaman, that America has a sacred purpose to unite the world in secular spirituality, which is the philosophy we are going to move forward with as we let go of religion and as we let go of all these silly little things, these devices that were put in place specifically to separate us from our divine connection and keep us at each other's throats. If you're an American patriot, it doesn't matter anymore whether you think you're a Democrat or Republican or whatever. The ideology of the founding fathers was libertarianism, which is the ideology of sovereignty. And it's the ideology of minimal government and strong state government. And the Constitution is about sovereignty. That is a word many of you have forgotten. Please look it up. And to thine own selves be true. And you are gods in bods. Stop kissing these people's asses. Their asses are smelly. Find the divine within and stand up, and let's reclaim this country from the evil, filthy, depraved bastards who are trying to turn us into a new world order, colorless, nameless region. Well, all right. Let me have a sip of my drink. You know, folks, I think I'm going to call it for today. I'm going to call it for this week. Not quite done, but I want to thank you for joining me. And I want to thank all the weird and wonderful martini heads out there. I drink to you. And it's my last sip of this drink, so that really does mean we're getting to the end of the show. I really appreciate the support, the letters, the cards, the emails, and occasionally the lovely, juicy little donation check. Please, I don't take you for granted. I love you all. Thank you for listening to the show. Now, folks, today's Real Life Cocktail is a popular beverage in Chile, in South America, and it's called a piscola. And I have chosen this drink to honor the passing of a Chilean friend of mine who died suddenly, yes, I know, don't go there, but peacefully in his beachfront home back in Chile. Michael, I have no words, but I know that you know what is in my heart. I drink this one for you, and I remember the many pleasant afternoons we spent sipping far too many drinky poos on your mother's back porch here in the Pacific Northwest. Making a Chilean piscola couldn't be easier. You pour two shots of pisco over ice in a tall glass, and you top it up with cola or some other sweet soda, but it should be a sweet soda because pisco is a little tart. And if you use cola, use the Mexican one in bottles that's made with cane sugar. The taste is very different. It is light and it is refreshing. And when you enjoy one, please look up to the heavens and say cheers and hola to Michael for me. Michael, solo tengo dulces recuerdos de ti. Fuiste un hombre profundamente espiritual. Y tu familia, tus amigos, te quieren mucho. I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini. I'm fine. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. In fact, we're so grateful, I'm smooching you right now. Mwah, mwah. Until we meet again, my darlings, whatever happens next in this shit show of awakening, do not comply. Stick the man in the eye. Let's make America sane again. And above all, my darlings, let's do all of this while letting the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Alphadesian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.